I allowed myself to stay in a place where I was using God's word and using the enemy's words to make myself stay in that place. Mm-hmm. So let me give a little bit of information to that. I was staying in a relationship that biblically I was allowed to divorce, but I didn't have the correct biblical justification on my side. Mm. I was using it to stay in the marriage.
Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find homework you can download to follow along. That's studywithfriends.org. This week is part 5, the last of a series called Obedience and Timing. We've been examining the depth of biblical instruction on obedience, and today we're talking about our own personal experiences in obedience and disobedience. We all have successes and failures. God is with us the whole way, and His Word, the Bible, will always steer us to His will. Let's talk about that. How about you guys? Do you have anything that you recognize now as important in the timing of your obedience?
So I guess what I would want to share is not necessarily the intimate details, but more of the broader how God has been leading me and the timing, little bits and pieces here and there. And I think I explained it at one point about God showing me like my life being on a stage and how He pulls the curtain back. And His timing is He's giving me little bits that are going to help me in the future for something. And then He's showing me, you know, I did this, I taught you this, and now you're going to be using that.
Prepare you.
Oh, complete preparing. So I think timing, He's preparing you for the correct timing as well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's
I've
really
seen
good.
That over that's and really over good. Again in my life. And
can you talk a little bit about being in that in-between place? Because here I am, I'm sitting on my, you know, little horse at the end of that experience. Mm-hmm. But there's 10 years in the middle of that experience where you're just not sure.
Yes.
And can you talk about that a little bit?
I can. You know, it's funny. When Nancy was talking about one of the questions, and she answered it perfectly the way that you wanted her to answer it. I'm going to try and find the question really quickly.
The one on doubt.
Yeah, it was about...
How does this inform your understanding of temptation and obedience when the enemy is at work? And it's interesting to me, I had something to say about that. I hope I can pull that up correctly the way I was thinking about it. I had it in my mind through... So this has been at least 10 years of a journey I've been going through. And as God has been preparing me with lots of little things, I have been disobedient in really reading and searching God's word, because I allowed myself to stay in a place where I was using God's word and using the enemy's words to make myself stay in that place. Mm-hmm. So let me give a little bit of information to that. I was staying in a relationship that biblically I was allowed to divorce, but I didn't have the correct biblical justification on my side. Mm. I was using it to stay in the marriage when that's not necessarily where I was meant to stay. Mm. And it took me a long time to get to the point where I was able to recognize that this was not healthy and it just wasn't good for anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Satan, you know, was twisting a lot of the words to make me stay.
Which is crazy, because when I talked about the ministry and how I was like, I don't want to do it, I had my reasons for not wanting to do it. But I wonder if you would just say a few words about how it feels overwhelming to make a decision like that, even though you're not happy in the place you are.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I felt like I didn't want to move forward because I was content and I was afraid of bad things coming.
Right.
But you have been in an opposite, and I don't want to share your business more than you want to share it. So just shut me down. But you were in a place where you were really not content.
No, I absolutely was not content. However, I kept coming up against the word that said, this is where you have to stay. You have to stay. God does not like divorce. God does not like this. God does not like that. But it does say in there that there are biblical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because I know your whole situation. Yeah. So I'm trying to follow your lead and only share the parts that you want to share. Okay.
Share too much.
So that's okay. I don't want you to share any more than you feel comfortable sharing. But I've told you this. There are a lot of women who are in a divorce, contemplating a divorce, or have been through a divorce. There are a lot of Christians who believe that that is never the right choice. And I think that you have an opportunity to minister to people who are going through this, have been through this, or might be looking at this down the road, not too far down the road.
Yeah.
And I just want you to help.
So so it was really very difficult. Not only did I go to the pastors at the church, I am seeking a very wonderful, godly Christian woman counselor who my pastors have spoke to make sure that
she's legit.
That she's legit, because there are a lot of counselors out there that might not be biblically sound.
Yep.
So it was very comforting to know that as well. It was very difficult to move forward with that because you are in such a content place. You are, you know, the thought of
content in discontent, though.
Yes, right.
Like
content.
And
I knew I was comfortable because I knew what to expect.
Yes, right. The known versus the unknown.
I knew what was going on. And so when I really
got... So even though you weren't comfortable or happy...
I was comfortable
because it was the known.
It was the known. And I didn't want to shake things up with, you know, having two teenage boys as well.
That's hard.
So it's been amazing to me how God has just opened so many doors to show me that this is the right thing to do. And I pray, we're not divorced, and it's really difficult in our house, but I pray for him because I don't think he knows our Lord. And I think that Satan is, I hate to say it this way, and maybe this should be edited out, I'm not sure, but I think Satan is just using him as his footstool and just allowing.
You're okay to say that,
twist
I think.
Words.
I think it's okay for you to say that because that's how you see this situation through your biblical worldview. And I have to say this because people who are listening don't know you, but I know you. Every step of the way, you were fully pursuing the Lord. This isn't like
I
came to faith and then realized that this marriage was not good. You had faith all along. And you were in Bible study, you were in fellowship, you were pursuing the Lord. So it wasn't like, I just think that's important to note, that this wasn't like something you woke up one day and you were like, oh, now that I have Jesus, it's time to leave this man who doesn't.
Right.
That wasn't ever what it was about.
Never.
And that's, and you know, I think that it's important to say every situation is unique. And what you just said was so key. You have not made this decision in isolation at all. Pastors, counselors, godly friends.
Godly friends, absolutely.
A ton of prayer. I mean, I can tell you, I look through my prayer journal. I showed you this once. I can look through my prayer journal and see
10 years
prayer
ago.
For you and your husband all through this time when you've been begging for answers.
Yes.
In a situation, begging for answers from the Lord. About a situation that was really not good.
No. And honestly, I could not have, I could not have dealt with the answer 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It would not have been good. So God's timing on this,
you weren't in a place.
It was not, it would not have been good.
Well, and the other,
but I'm in a place now where, you know, I go to a divorce care, which I highly recommend. It's kind of a Bible study, kind of a group. And it's called Divorce Care, and it's wonderful. And there's videos that you watch. And this one guy said, you know, they asked me, do I pray for my wife? Yeah. I pray for her to get hit by a car. I pray her to do this. And honestly, I never had that prayer. I really want him to find salvation, and I really want him to turn his life around. And as of right now, and I don't, unless God completely turns it around, and I'm still going to be searching, it's not going to be with me. I can't be that person to him. So I am just praying that someone will come into his life and show him salvation, show him Christ. And
I too came across, Becky and I were looking for Bible studies to work on next year, and I searched out some of my old Bible studies, and I came across, I think it was the first one I ever did, that I came across some prayer cards, and it was about him and his salvation.
Years ago.
We're talking, I don't know, the kids were they were preschoolers. They were maybe 3 years old. So
yeah. So and it's not to say that it's not still scary, the thought of the unknown,
right?
But I know that God is with me, and I know that, you know, you said it earlier, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that God makes all things work together for good for those.
And you know it has to change now.
And it has to change now. Yeah.
But you know what, Amy? What's interesting to me is this is, I think, and even though you're still not quite at the place where you can pull it together with a tidy little bow with hindsight.
Oh, no, not even close.
I think it still resounds with me as an example of obedience and timing. God's will, God's way, in God's timing.
God's timing, absolutely.
And I know that there are a lot of people, godly, and I say godly people. I don't take that lightly. I'm talking about people who are working it out on the hot pavement of life every day with Jesus Christ right next to them, abiding him. A lot of godly people in your life who did this when you were like, I think I'm going to leave him. We did this. Like just breathed.
Yeah.
For you, for the
because,
first.
Because
I can't even imagine as a woman who loves the Lord and loves God's word, feeling that way about a divorce. But that's how I felt when you said it. And I had to temper that, because when you said, I'm thinking about it, you still weren't quite there.
Right. Mm-mm.
And I didn't want to be like, do it.
Yeah.
Because God,
We've been waiting for this.
I can't be.
What's wrong with you, woman?
No, I didn't want to be. Yeah. God forbid I counsel you and that's not God's will.
Right.
I don't know how God's going to play this out.
We all know what the world would tell her to do.
Because I love you and I've seen you struggle, I would love for you to just have a new start.
Right.
Because I love you. But that's my humanness and wanting what I think is best for you.
Yeah.
But I know enough to know that what I think is best for you may or may not be what God's best is for you. But I will say that the timing, just one little thing that I can tell you that maybe hasn't occurred to you, but the timing of you struggling through this, and I don't know if you can say the same thing, Nancy, I'm sure you can, and everybody else that has been as close to you during this process. What an incredible witness of faith to me. For you to stick it out and say, I'm not moving until God says move. So I can tell you that with respect to timing, that's one enormous, enormous byproduct.
Someone very close to us did say that to me. That was just completely
blown away.
Exactly the word. Yeah. and thinking about their own life and their own problems was like, I couldn't even imagine. I thought, well, that's, you know, that's God's power.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. And yeah, the faithfulness, the quiet faithfulness. Because not everybody in your life even really knew all this was going on. So it's not like this. My husband is this and my husband is that and aren't I a martyr for staying? It was never like that.
Never.
It was always like quietly.
Such a great example.
Yeah. Quietly obeying and being faithful and waiting on the Lord. When I'm sure, even though you said you were comfortable and there was a comfort in the known versus the unknown, I also am sure there were plenty of times where you wanted to leave skid marks in the driveway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can't, you can't say that you just stayed there because it was a comfortable place. You stayed there because that was your, as far as I could see, that was your philosophy was I'm not moving
until
God says move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's crazy when you think about all the stuff that has gone down. I would have, I think I would have moved selfishly. I would have. I'd been like,
I can't take
here.
This. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to vilify him. I'm not saying, you know, I don't want him, I don't want this to be a moment of us just making him like the worst dude that's ever existed, because I have a heart for him too.
Yes.
You can see it. You can see in him the desire to be something better and do something better, but he just lives in defeat.
Yeah.
And he just rolls over and he's just like, I can't. That's what I see. And so it's not like, I mean, he's all of us. He's all of us.
We're all capable of that kind
And so I don't want it to be that. And and I hope that's not coming across that way, but you're my girlfriend. and just that one thing, and I have to tell you, Aim, your kids are going to bear that mark too, that not just the mark of divorce that I know you worry so much about, but the mark of a faithful mother. They won't see it clearly, probably for a long time, but sometime they will. And that's going to be an indelible mark of faith and spiritual upbringing for them. And I can't tell you all the ways that God will use this and all the ways that the timing is good and right. But
yeah, that's amazing. The timing.
I think it's fair to say it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
So Nancy had said this earlier when she saw it, she signed up right away. I did too. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know, thank you, Lord. That was your timing.
I was like, whoa. It was like a rush to this topic. Usually I have to like rattle some cages and like, hey, we need a couple more people. That didn't happen this time. I wish I could strike topics that are that great all the time. I'll have to try to keep that up. Do you have any examples that you want to share about timing? I know you really have throughout talked about the timing of
so many. Yeah, but I think just in relation to what I'm going through now, I think I told you probably off mic that I couldn't quite get how the timing could work, how it could be God's timing that I didn't start obeying years ago when he first asked me to. And I don't think that he would ever want us to not obey when he first asked us to. But I think by my not, and like you said, I'm in the middle of it. So I don't, not looking at it from retrospect. Yeah, but I have a little retrospect because I know what miserable things have happened. And I do believe some of them are the cause, are the result of disobedience. I think now, kind of like you said with your daughters, I wouldn't have an appreciation for my need now to, and I don't think I'd be as committed to trying to, with the Spirit's help. I don't think I'd have that commitment if I didn't have the bad stuff to look back and be like, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to be in that desert place again. And the lack of intimacy I had with God because of it and nearly walking away. I mean, I think I needed to have that under my belt before I was really ready to commit to what he's asking me.
I think I know as we are wired, he steers us according to what we need.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that you're particularly stubborn, but because I am particularly stubborn, he has to train me a different way.
I've had someone to learn who's a lot more pliable. The hard way. Yeah.
Someone who's more pliable might not need as
thick-headed.
Yeah, so it's another incredible testimony to how personally God loves us.
Oh, it's amazing.
So, all right, I'm going to wrap up. Let's pray. I just, I'm so thankful for this time, and I learn as much as I might think I have to bring. I just learned so much, but thank you for being here with me, guys. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time and for your faithfulness and for your word and for the faithful around us, each of us and everyone listening, I feel sure has someone in their life, if not several someones, who are an example of godly fellowship and godly counsel. And each of us can find someone who helps us stay on track with you. A theme we've heard this whole time is accountability and intentionality. And so much of that is staying where you put us, God, and going where you lead us. And so, God, I just ask you to help us be better equipped as a result of this time today, to understand the intricate balance between temptation and obedience, and then subsequently the balance between timing and obedience. And help us as we come to each temptation, each act of obedience, to really be better informed by what you've taught us today, God, that we would lead lives that are pleasing to you and that glorify you. We ask it for the sake and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I do want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
That thank you for sharing with me that you have seen God through me, because that that means a lot to me. So,
well, it means a
thank
lot
you.
That you are, you're welcome. Yeah. But let me, I guess, anybody who's going through, you're going through something, I know it's not always the first thing you think about because you're so in the pit.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about, and maybe you don't even care
you
about
just have
the
blinders
witness,
on.
The witness or whatever, whatever ancillary benefit is happening as a result of your life and you trying, just grappling with and trying with white knuckles and fingernails to lead it the right way. Anytime we do that, God blesses us and he blesses the people around us. And so if you're in the middle of it, and we're all, I could say we're all probably in the middle of something, at the beginning of something, and at the end of something, all at the same time. And so that's something to keep in mind all the time, right? All the time, just that the world is watching. My children are watching. My God is watching. And I just want to run the race well. And bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. And just, God, give me the grace and the strength to do that.
Right. Amen to that.
Love you, Amy.
I hope you've been as blessed by this series as we were to sit together and record it. These are my girlfriends, but we're your friends too. Email us, contact us on the website, or comment on this Bible study series there. We're a community of women just like you, going through the same stuff you are, struggling with it and trying to hold each other up through prayer and through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We invite you into our circle of friends. There's room for you here. Next week, we'll start a new series. I hope you can come back. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. We pray that you're blessed by this program. Would you pray for us and also prayerfully consider joining us as we reach hearts with God's Word? This month, we're praying that listeners would consider a donation of $10 a month. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of $10 a month. You can set up monthly giving at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We strongly believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. But be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.